regret. Hello, I'm defeat. Hello, I'm a bad boy. And you know, some Christians still struggle with that. They do. And yet we got to realize and understand, you know. I remember years ago, and I don't know if it's still that common, but the biggest phrase that people use, I'm just a sinner, saved by grace, with this pious humility that, you know, I know I'm really no good and I got saved by grace and God understands what I'm like. But the whole scenario is not that. I was a sinner. Then I got saved by grace. Now I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now I'm a child of the King. Now I'm saved, set free, delivered and whole in Him. That's amazing. It's an incredible scenario that we've all got to learn and understand in Christ. Last week, a lot of you weren't here last week, so I'm going to just do a 2-minute overhaul or recap about talking about being in Christ. And the picture that God had really brought across my pathway through someone else, wasn't anything special that I got into, was to learn that represents you and I in our unregenerate state, in our old sin. That's me. That's you. That's the Lord Jesus. That is representing Him. Not just because it's a Bible, I could use any book. But you know, when the Father sent the Son to put on Him the sin of the whole world and to redeem us from the life and to provide a way back to be reconciled back to God, back at the cross, in the Father's mind, you and I and every one of us were there in that scenario. God looked ahead, He saw us all. He saw the whole of humanity. And He gave put an amazing process in place right there and then, so that when we came to Christ, the work of the cross was fully appropriated. Otherwise, it would be no different to the Old Testament, where every time you wanted to come to God, you had to sacrifice another lamb and sacrifice another lamb and come to God that way. And that was just a temporary measure. But this was a permanent measure. A permanent measure. And the scripture, in teaching us who we are in Christ and putting us in Christ, places us in Him. So that the Father no longer saw you and I and everything that we were in our weaknesses and our shortcomings and our failures, but sees us in Christ. And everything that was inflicted upon Him at the cross, all of the punishment that we deserved was inflicted on Him, and He took it for us. All of the sin that was laid on Him, He took for us. And you know, when the Bible says you were buried with Him in baptism, when Christ was buried, we were buried with Him. If you understand this, you can understand how our old nature in God's eyes is done away with. And we were raised up with Him to walk in newness of life. And then we were raised up and seated with Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's just an amazing revelation to understand that. And then the way the Father looks at us is not in our old sin, in our shortcomings, in our failures, or in our weaknesses or strengths, or in any other way, but He sees us in Christ, purified, cleansed, holy and righteous. That status or that position in Him is unchanging. It's permanent. It doesn't fluctuate. It doesn't turn on and turn off when you and I fail or fall short or get lost back in the realms of our flesh and all that sort of thing. God has redeemed us as His child. Okay? But the problem we have is not so much our status or our position, but we have three aspects or three things I want to look at today. The first one is we've got our position. I covered that last week, and if you want to talk to Steve after, you can either get a copy of it or you can get a DVD printed off, or you can actually get, I don't know if we've got it on podcast yet, have we, or anything? It's on podcast, so you can download the message or listen to it online. But let's not confuse our position and get away with and think we can get away with being or doing anything we want to do or be. We have a walk to fulfill. And the walk is our responsibility that the Bible teaches us a lot about. It teaches about our responsibility about constantly putting off the old nature, which is corrupt according to its deceitful lust, and the things that it wants to drag us back into. And the whole thing is that our walk in God is a walk where we walk understanding and knowing what God has done for us, who we are in Him, and appropriating that into our daily life. The thing that we battle with the most is our state. Because quite often we see ourselves and we see ourselves shortcoming or bad attitudes, failing, indulging into the things of the flesh and all of the things that were pulling us this way and that way. Am I talking to the right people? Are we like that? You know, are we still struggling with this old nature? It's almost like Dracula. You know, you've got the old dead man in the coffin, and every now and then the lid comes off and the old man gets up and the ugly nature comes back and the ugly actions are there, and we think, hang on a minute. You know, the devil says, or the Holy Ghost says, come on, we're born again. And the devil says, well, we'll see about that, you know. And we've got this constant battle and warfare. And Paul explained it in Romans, and he says, you know, in my flesh dwells no good thing. I cannot depend on it. I can't rely on it. I can't trust it. It'll lead me astray. It'll do everything. It'll pick up things through its eye gate, ear gate, feeling gate, and every which gate it's got, and it will want its own way every time. Are we still together here? I'm not the only one that has these struggles. Yeah, good, that's nice, that's good. And so what we've got to do is come to our realization of our position as opposed to our state with our walk. And a lot of people, unfortunately, judge their walk by their state. And they get into the realms of regret or condemnation or thinking, oh, I'll never make it, or I'm no good, or I'll never get there. Because the state has got nothing to do with the position. It's unaltered. And so we look at the state where we sometimes let ourselves down, let God down, let others down, and all that sort of thing. And we judge ourselves or our walk by our state. Whereas the right way to do it is to bring our walk in line with the Word and judge our walk or correct our walk by the Word of God from our position in Christ. Now, that's not always easy, because the hard thing about it is whenever we're tempted, tried, tested, challenged or whatever, there is a barrage. How many of you know the enemy doesn't play fair? The devil does not play fair. He comes in, bang. In the scripture in the Old Testament, when the enemy comes in like a flood, is some way it's interpreted. Let's just use it that way for now. He doesn't come in and say, excuse me, but could I offer you a temptation today? Does he? Ah, yeah, you could easily say, no, thanks, that's not my bag. But he doesn't. He throws it at us. He barrages us. He comes in with this incredible, forceful whole scenario, and before we know it, whether we like it or not, for some unknown reason, we've let our thoughts go one way, or we've let our actions go, or we've let our attitudes go, or we've let every aspect that's not godly go, and we suddenly come to the realization, what on earth am I doing? But we've already, you know, got ourselves in this tangle. And that's the difficult part. In the meantime, it's the Holy Spirit going, excuse me. He's gentle. That's why he's pictured as a dove. He's there. He'll pick up the pieces. He'll lead us back to God. He'll lead us to repentance. He'll lead us away from the things. But he's not the same forceful barrage that the devil is. And so there is this constant war. And Paul said, who shall deliver me from this body of death? And then he says, I thank God that in Christ Jesus, through Christ Jesus. And so what he was painting the picture of is not to allow the state of our body or the temptations or the lust of the flesh or the desires of the mind or all those things that are part of the old nature become the governing factor in our walk with God, but to allow our position to be our governing factor. I think that's just amazing. Our position in Christ is unchanging. God doesn't turn around and say, whoops, he sinned again. Let's turn him back and out. Oh, no, he's back in. He's repent. Oh, no, he's out. No. The position in God is once and for all. Now, people can turn their back on God and renounce their salvation. I know that. We're not talking about people that have just blatantly gone out and said, look, I don't want no more to do with God. I'm talking about the daily walk we have in God and being who God wants us to be and growing in the grace and the knowledge of him. Growing. Why did he say growing? Because we need to grow and develop. There's a process of growth in God. And all of the aspects of who we are in Christ, we don't come to the full understanding of that overnight. We don't get saved and all of a sudden our sins are forgiven and everything that we were is washed away. Let me tell you this, and I've explained this to this church before, and those of you that weren't here, I will quickly give it to you in a 2-second nutshell. When you get born again is the most amazing term you can actually use in your life. Because God comes in and he receives you as his child the day you receive salvation from him and blanks out your whole past. You have no history. There's a little baby up the back there. As far as this world knows, this baby has a 3-week history. Of course, Kerry and Mash know of a prior history there with the growth and the development in the womb. But the baby gets born, and that's the beginning of the baby's life. And that baby's life from then on gets a name, gets a status, gets a everything else, government recognition and a birth certificate and all that. And that baby grows from there, and that baby's history begins from the day it's born. Okay? That baby's life is then on record. But when you come to Christ, whatever happens from the day you were born physically to the day you come to Christ, regardless of where you were, where you lived your life, or how you lived your life, God says, it's gone. And in God's mind, it doesn't exist. God has got the only capacity that, a capacity we haven't got. He can forget everything. He can totally erase. And you can come to God and go, oh, but my Lord, you know, when I did this and when I did that, and Father's sitting there, you know, talking to the Son, what's he talking about? Do you know? Not on our history books, not in our lifetime, not when we have known this child. This child got born again on this date at this time, and there is no prior record. Whoa, I love that. Now, I've heard Christians come up with crazy ideas that when we get to heaven and we're judged, God's going to judge us and put up a big screen and show everybody how bad we were and all the wrong things. That is such a lot of nonsense. Scaremongering. Those things are not in the Word of God. They are not there. We are judged according to who we are in Christ, and that is the only thing God uses as a criteria. You're a child of God. You're born of the Spirit. You're a new creature. Man, that's all he wants to know. He doesn't care about your bad past. It's gone. Woohoo! Glory to God. We have to recognize and understand that so that our position is then governing our walk and our state is judged by our position, not by it, or not our walk being judged by our state. I think that is awesome. And that's, I don't know, those kids, you got that song there, you stole all my thunder. Just incredible. Knowing who we are in Christ is just the most amazing revelation we can have, and learning it from the Word. The stand we have and the walk that we have is the outworking of that position. So when we take a stand for God, when we take a stand in the Spirit, when we come against the opposition of the enemy, or we're believing God for his intervention in our life, or when we're calling on the name of the Lord, there is a standing in our walk that comes from our position that gives us the right to do that. Amen. And it can't be thwarted by yesterday's mistakes, because we come to God and that blood that was shed at Calvary cleanses us from all sin. So not only was I cleansed, I am cleansed today, and I'm being cleansed, and I'm constantly cleansed. God knows I'll fail sometime down the track. God knows my flesh will let me down. God knows I will fupar here and there. But he's got the provision in place for me to say, God, I realize I'm sorry. He says, God, it's cool, kid. It's cool. We're in this together, and I'm going to lift you up, and we'll walk together. If I deliberately walk away from God and go and let my flesh take control, if I deliberately go and do things that are against God's principles and God's will for my life, and I jeopardize my walk, my position still doesn't change. But what happens is my walk becomes shaky. My walk becomes weak. My anointing in God becomes depleted. God can't come along and say, oh, look, you know, I know you're doing that, but that's all right. Here's all my blessings and here's all. No. We have to recognize that there is a consequence if we go out and deliberately offend God. If we take every opportunity, no one's looking. Who's going to know? Who's going to? No one's going to know what I'm up to. I'm always there on Sunday, and you know, I'll tell you something. When I was a teenager, I should have got Emmy Award in the church. I should have got the Gold Logie. Because there was times there, especially once I was 18 and got my license and car, all I cared about was the rock and roll dancers out at Springvale Town Hall on Saturday nights. Because I used to get up on the stage and sing. I used to do all that rock stuff. I was up there doing Buddy Holly and all of that stuff. And yeah, man. Oh, and I looked more forward to Saturday night than I did Sunday morning. But I was there Sunday morning. Oh, Ken, good to see you. How you going, brother? Oh, God bless you. Really good. I knew all the Christianese. That was just to accentuate what I needed. Lord Jesus, how, and yet his grace, man, God's grace preserved me, God's grace kept me, God's grace just kept me from going too far down the wrong road and bringing me back to himself. And I'm telling you, that was an attractive, I had the accolades of everyone in those places. I could go to, these things, none of you will know about any of these things, but there was a dance at Mooney Ponds Town Hall called Jive Junction. Around the corner in the ambulance hall was Jazz Junction. And so we would jive here and jazz there, but then afterwards we'd fight in the middle because the jazzers didn't like the jivers. Absolutely nuts. But you get up on that stage, and everybody, you had the whole audience at your beck and call, and yet God wanted me for himself. I just wanted myself for myself. So what I was doing was ignoring my state, which I wasn't aware of in those days because it was never taught. But I was trying to walk the walk, but not talk the talk. You know, and being out there and getting the accolades of men and getting the praise. Come on, sing another one. Do this, do the other. And you just, that frenzy that people got into was crazy. But the walk was virtually a plastic walk. It wasn't a real walk. And yet I knew there was a God. I knew God was real. I knew God was alive. I knew God had redeemed me. I knew God had forgiven me. I'd get there on Sunday and I'd hear the message and I'd be all sorry for what I did and God, I'm, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I was, God, you know what I'm up to, sort of, and I'd feel sorry and I'd say, Lord, I'm sorry, but I wouldn't really repent. I never turned from, okay? So the walk became a walk of jeopardy. And I had no strength in that walk. I had no capacity in that walk because every time the flesh wanted something, the flesh was in control because the flesh was what I was yielding to wherever I had the opportunity. Sad. Sad. All because the glory and the accolades of the crowd were more appealing to me at that time than my conduct and my life with God. But from my position in Christ, if I could recap, if I knew what God had made me to be then, it wasn't taught like it's taught today. There was no revelation, knowledge, and understanding of how important it was to be who we were in Christ. That we were a new creature, that we were born of the Spirit, that we were seated in heavenly places. I was trying to constantly govern my walk in my own strength. Being what I thought I had to be a Christian, living it by rules and regulations, living it by standards that were imposed on me by people in the church, not by who I was in Christ, because I had no idea of the status God had put me in, how he saw me, how he viewed me, how he had a compassion for me, how much he loved me, how much he had put into me. I didn't know that. And it was sometime later when the revelation of who I was in Christ came through some teaching that I got onto in about, 24 I was, maybe 25. And it hit me like a ton of bricks. It absolutely changed my whole demeanor spiritually. And you know what? God said to me one thing very clearly. He said, I want you to forget everything you have ever learned and start again. Because I was struggling with the Christianese I'd been taught, and all of a sudden I find out, man, this God is amazing. This God has placed me in him. This God has a passion for me. And it wasn't the fact that I was failing God. I was ignorant. I had no real full knowledge of who God was, why he was who he was, and what he had done for me. And so you could not. I judged my standing by my state. See, I was judging who I was here by what I was down there. But had I known who I was in Christ, I could have let my standing judge my state and bring it into line. Put to death the things of the flesh, crucifying the old man with its affections and lusts, and doing everything that Scripture said, but I had no empowerment to do that. And this is one of the reasons why the Scripture encourages us, put on the whole armor of God. You've got the helmet of salvation guarding your mind, the breastplate guarding your heart, the truth guarding your walk and the strength where you come from in your walk, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And all of these things are provisions of God for us to enable us to stand and walk with him. And then he says, and take the shield of faith, man. I love that shield because that shield is so important. You know, if we've got a faith in God that is strong, unshakable, and secure, nothing can penetrate it. Nothing can drag us down. Nothing can stop us from knowing who we are in God. We only have one weapon of attack, and that's the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. And Jesus used that when he was confronted by the devil out in the wilderness, when the devil said, do this, do that, do the other. And he said, it is written, it is written, it is written. Standing on that word is the only way Jesus could fight back. That should be the only way we fight back. We have got to know what's written and where God has placed us and how God sees us. And every time something confronts us, it is written. It is written. It is written. The Bible says if we judge ourselves, we will not be judged. So we don't condemn ourselves. We don't tear ourselves up or pass sentence on ourselves. We use a judgment based on our stand and our walk to bring our lives into subjection to who we are in Christ. And that way we basically are our own disciplinarians, if you like, or our correctors. But of course the Bible does tell us whom the Lord loves, he chastens. And it's just like he doesn't come along and impose on us things like sickness and disease and accidents and all sorts of things that some people say, oh, you must have been a bad person if you had that accident. God took his covering off you. Nonsense. That's not God. That's the devil trying to break you up. The Bible says the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come to give you life. But the chastising of the Lord is not harsh instruction or criticism. But if a little child comes up playing with fire, and he's got himself a box of matches and a candle or something, and he's playing around with that, and he's just about to burn himself, what responsible parent wouldn't turn around and then educate the child in the dangers of fire? Now look, that's fire has a place. Fire is good in its right place, in a fireplace or where it's used for heating or whatever have you. But when you come along and you start to put a fire up in the middle of the lounge room and so forth, that fire can take your life. That fire can destroy you. That fire can cause incredible damage. And if a child is taught by its dad how to control fire and not fire control him, and he understands the consequences of it, there is always a little discussion going along. You know, when a child's young, you meet them where they're at with their level of understanding. As they get older, sometimes you've got to be a little bit more harsh or severe, but you've still got to get the facts across that there are things that are going to hurt you if you start fiddling with them the wrong way. That's God's correction. That's God's discipline. That's God's caution. It's, hey, I died to save you from that. I've redeemed you from the destructiveness of that. Just be careful, and the Holy Ghost is there restraining and causing us. I don't know about you, but how many times have we ever gone into a situation and we go in like a bull at a gate and we've ignored that inner restraint? Now, I've done it several times. Still do it every now and then. You ask my wife. You know, especially when I see something that might, oh, wow, this is going to be great. Look, we'll go, does God really want you to have that? Get thee behind me, this woman. But, you know, if I really stop and just get my head out the way and listen, I've got that pull away. A couple of weeks ago, I was on the verge of buying a new car. I came that close. Not only that close, I probably came that close. I was on the sign the docket scenario. And it just happened to be a new model that Ford have released that's a limited Falcon GT whiz-bang hoo-ha thing that could be worth money down the track or whatever. I had my name down for this car for over 12 months. And I get a call, your car's ready, or they're being produced next month, and, you know, time to come in and put the deposit down. First reaction, yeah! You know, here's the car that I've had my heart set on for years. I knew this car was coming, the last of the big bangers Ford were going to bring out. I have got my GT. Wahoo! Told Lick about it, and she's going, do you need it? I didn't ask you, woman. I told you. And the guy rings me up and he says, oh, I thought you were coming down today, but I actually couldn't get there. So I said, no, I'll see you tomorrow. I'm on the way down through Laverton. You know, that night, that gut feeling, that restraint, that pull, I'm going, God, Lord, you're trying to tell me something. And I had to ring up the next day and say, you know, that car that they had people waiting in a line from. There's only 500 released. They had 2,500 buyers on day one. On day one, I had one. In fact, I had an option on a second one as well, but I didn't tell Lexi that. But, you know, I got up the next day and I just rang the guy and I said, I'm going to pass on that car. He said, are you in your right mind? Are you sure? I said, yeah, I'm sure. I said, I just know it's not the right thing to do. His boss rang me a couple of hours later. I had the pressure on. We've held this, you know, you've had this position. You've been on the list probably one of the longest. You were up in the top 20, you know, and there's 500 only of these guys. And you know, the torment that I put myself through. But as soon as he rang and started talking, that same restraint. You don't need me. Forget it. And, you know, finally I just said, look, sorry, no, I can't do it. And you know the peace that I had? I don't care now. That's amazing. That is more. Now, if you know me and my Fords, you know that that's probably the hardest thing I've had to do in my life. But God just, I don't know why, but just, you don't need it. And I thought, well, you got two at home, do them up. Older ones. They're better anyway. But not necessarily. But the whole thing is, you know, it was probably just an ego trip. It was probably a, you know, yeah, boys and their toys, whatever have you. No, I would have loved to have had that thing parked out there and have everybody telling me what a wonderful car it was. You know, the but, you know, it's that restraining force of the Spirit of God. We've got to train ourselves to hear and listen to and say, God, yeah, I'm sorry. I was getting in the way too badly there. I definitely fupa'd here, Lord. And, God, I know that you've tried to talk to me and I ignored you and I'm so sorry and I repent. And you know something? I guess really it doesn't get any easier, but it gets a little more frequent, I think, that you're able to then hear and obey the voice of the Spirit and the tug of the heartstrings that God is putting in there. And the Lord does definitely govern and love us so much. Our position never changes, but what he does try to do is develop our life in him so that God and his glory is seen in us. God wants to reflect his glory in and through us. I really won't go too far onto that at the moment. But the Bible says to us, walk circumspectly in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14 to 18. Not as fools, not in ignorance, not without understanding, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. God's will for my life is to be who I should be in him, in practice, outworking my position in my stand and my state under the governing of who I am in Christ, with the life of God in me in control, not my old nature in control. And we've just got to learn that. That way, regret doesn't come along and say, hello, I am regret. I'm going to tell you all about the things you were. I'm going, no, the things I were are dead. I was buried with him in baptism. I don't know who you're talking about. I was raised up with him to walk in newness of life. Now I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, far above principalities, powers, dominion and might in every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come. And all things have been put under my feet, the same as Jesus, because I'm in him. My position is there. And you can't drag me down to your level, Satan. Neither can you bring up my old nature, because you know it was crucified with Christ. Because when God put me in him, any man in Christ, he's a new creature. And the old has passed away and all things are new. And how do you handle that? Whoa. Hey. Wow. I tell you what. If God being in Christ was a car, I'd be the first one in it. That's for sure. But it's better than a car, like you said. It would be a Ford if it was too. But our walk is not a status of a hit and miss or failure or success. But it's a determined life based on our knowledge of God and who he has made us to be in him. And that's, you know, I guess in a way I've probably pushed the fact that who we are in Christ a lot during this church's life. But the importance of it is outworked in my own life. Without knowing who I was in Christ, I had no control over the old nature. But that has come into more and more correction and discipline as I've learned to govern and control through the voice of the Spirit. having sway and having life in me. And hello, I'm a child of the King. Oh, I love that. I love that because I'm a new creature in Him. My status is in Him. My position is Him. My walk is in Him. And it's, I could go on. You know, God, it's a wise and foolish man scenario too. The wise man built his house on a rock because it was based on who he was in Christ. The foolish man built his life on shifting sand based on what he was able to do in his own strength. That's just crazy. And that's the story of that. But Jesus in his prayer on John 17, I'll finish this with, when he was praying for the church, and he says, I pray for all those that you have given me. He prayed for every person coming to Christ, that the Father would draw and that would be drawn to Christ. And Jesus prayed this prayer and he says, the glory that I have with you, I have given them. And that glory was portrayed when Jesus came up out of the waters of baptism and the Spirit of God descended on him and he says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. The word for glory used in that status was my full acceptance and I'm trying to think what the rest was. I read it out of things. Did I write it down? I don't know if I wrote it down actually. Well, the full acceptance and there's another word that was in there and I did not write it down, that the Father showed on Jesus and bestowed on Jesus at that point. Also, when Jesus was up on the Mount of Transfiguration, he says, this is my beloved Son, hear him. And they saw the glory descend on him. There was a full acceptance and a rubber stamping, if you want to put, from God that was on Jesus that fully took him into God's divine favorable state. And you know, Jesus said, the glory, the acceptance, and the favor that you have given and approved me with, I have now given them. Whoa. Whoa. And you know, if we're being changed from glory to glory to glory, it's not because we're going to be shinier and shinier and shinier, but what it is showing is that as we learn to walk from our position and our lives are being more and more portrayed by who we are in God and who God is in us, that evidence is manifested in God's stamp of approval on our life and our acceptance, causing that to be outworking in our daily living, in our daily life, so that this world recognizes that we are a child of God. That's the whole basis of God's glory, his approval on us, showing the approval on to mankind. I don't know that we're there yet, but I certainly know that as God's nature is developed in us, our walk is not governed by anything that we are in the natural or do in the natural or were in the natural, but purely all through what he has done in us, through us, and because of who he made us to be in him. Amen? Amen. God bless you for that. I just trust that's been really, really helpful and understanding that we really don't come in under any condemnation because we need to recognize who we are in Christ causes us to stand strong. And that's why when we take on the whole armor of God, the Bible says, having done all, stand. Don't be shaken by anything else that's thrown at you or tackles you. You have been given every capacity to stand in who you are in Christ. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. He's amazing.